You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, okay. Calm down.
Is that a little too much coffee?
92.7 WMDX, Madison. The John and Gordy Morning Show. Good morning, Madison.
All right.
Good morning, Madison. Shoot.
Sweating just listening to that.
7:06. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning and cool temperatures in the mid-50s. We'll get into the low to mid-80s once again today. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young, along with Dominic Lee, our producer. And things are looking good outside our studios over State Street. Looks like they painted the lines going around the corner there. They
finally.
Sprucing things up
right,
just in time for winter, I guess. I don't know.
So we can't see them in winter.
Okay. When was the last time we've seen a leaf blower? I mean, I
don't know.
I could Did not they, tell you the last time we...
I think they picked a different block to start off early in the morning.
You think so?
Yeah, they work their way up, maybe.
Maybe they only do it once a week now. I don't know.
We're the cleanest town in the world. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to a doctor yesterday about vaccines and what the administration is doing and all the fake treatments now that they're recommending people get.
Yes.
God, this is just outrageous. So the FDA commissioner comes out and says, I don't think autism is genetic.
Really?
Well, I'm glad to hear your opinion.
Can we get to that story in just a moment,
I'm not
John?
Getting to the story. I'm just telling you what the headline is.
Okay.
That's all. It's dumb enough just the way it is.
That's all we need to know?
We don't need to know any more than
okay.
that. This is what the administration's cranking out.
Okay. Hey, guess what? It's time for our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Cue the music there. Yes, it's your daily chance to win a piece of gold jewelry and $200 cash, plus every single entry you put in goes into the grand prize drawing, which will be for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to the Green Bay versus Minnesota game coming up in November. Okay, get ready to get on the Civic Media app and text us the keyword for this hour. The word is WIN, W-I-N. Simple as that, WIN. Okay, you text us and get that text to us before 8 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
And you'll be in the contest for that gold jewelry and the $200 cash, plus the grand prize drawing, which will happen at the end of the contest. It is a multi-state contest. Again, the word is WIN. You can use the Civic Media app. Text us right now. Go to the WMDX portion of that app and get on the text button, text the word WIN. And you can go to civicmedia.us/contest for complete contest rules.
All right. That sounds fantastic. And what an incredible game. I mean, you know, that's the game to attend.
By the way, every time that you text in, you get a response. Okay?
All
you
right.
get a response that your text has gone into the contest, and there's a link in that text response. And you can click on that for more chances to win by subscribing to the newsletter or following us on Facebook or, you know, checking out the new newsletter, Civic Media Today. So get your entries in.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay.
Now,
you're not eligible.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, okay. I'll be hanging outside Lambeau Field looking for somebody selling their tickets for a big price.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, this is the big story for today. Trump has signed a little notice, national security directive, different from executive orders. This is a big deal. Identifying anti-Christian and anti-American views as indicators of radical left violence. Indicators of it.
Okay.
It's called National Security Presidential Memorandum 7, or if you want to make that into an acronym, NSPM 7. All right, that's what it's called, and that's
that
how
just
they'll
rolls off the tongue.
That's how they'll refer to it.
What?
Here's the quote: "This is the first time in American history that there is an all of government effort to dismantle left-wing terrorism. yeah. Okay. Because, you know, they don't have enough on the right. They don't have a network over there. The Joint Terrorism Task Force will disrupt any individual or groups that foment political violence, including before they result in violent political acts. Again, okay. It's preemptive before they result in political acts. Hmm. They're targeting pre-crime. In a reference to Minority Report, I have a little
pre-crime.
Clip here. Yeah, it's 231, clip 231. This is from Minority Report, just to kind of give you an idea of what it's going to sound like in the back rooms of the White House.
Okay. I'm sure you all understand the legalistic drawback to pre-crime methodology.
Here we go again.
But let's not kid ourselves. We are arresting individuals who have broken no law.
But they will.
You ever get any false positives? Someone intends to kill his boss or his wife, but they never go through with it. How do the precogs tell the difference?
Precogs have to see what you intend to do, only what you will do.
That's right. Mm. And the precogs are like people with autism on the spectrum, and they can tell. They know. Not completely,
really?
Though. The movie proves that. Anyway, it's a great movie, by the way. You got to see that. Trump's NSPM-7 labels common beliefs as terrorism indicators. I'm not kidding. I've got a list here. That can sense dangerous liberals. This is what they're looking for. Anti-Americanism. Check yourself at the door on this one. Anti-capitalism.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Anti-Christianity.
Okay.
Support for the overthrow of the United States government, which I think is already happening. I'm not sure. extremism on migration. I think we have that going on right now. Extremism on race. Well, we're seeing that on the right. Mm. See, these are all right-wing things. Extremism on gender. We're seeing that on the right. This is all left-wing stuff, though. Hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on family. Again, now, these are the characteristics they're going to look for to stop you, to interrogate you, to lock you up. This is the final nail in the coffin to this country. This is it right here. Hostility toward those who hold traditional American views on the family. What? How would you know that?
Yeah.
You know, I've got a family myself. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, a lot of these people don't have families, like my mega friend in Milwaukee. But, you know, he can spout all this stuff. Hostility towards those who hold traditional American views on religion. And finally, hostility toward those who hold traditional American views on morality. So
that's a big list.
They're going to be the morality police,
apparently,
in this country, and they're going to stop you, interrogate you, and lock you up in a FEMA camp someplace, and you'll be, well, maybe housed right next to our broadcast booth.
So Trump is going to sign this thing today.
He signed it.
He already signed it.
Oh, he signed it a little while back. Yeah, no one noticed it.
No ceremony or anything on this one.
No. This
with the big pen and
this everybody. Is going on. This is while they go after Antifa, the network Antifa in our country.
Okay,
which doesn't exist at all, and it was a surprise to every Democrat out there, any liberal, any progressive, any pro democracy individual. None of us knew we had this network. Damn, had we known. We could have sold memberships, you know, made a little money on this thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, a pre-crime endeavor prevented attacks before they happen. Not just about thwarting violent actors. It's about chilling free speech and association, according to one attorney. It allows the attorney general to recommend formal designation of domestic terrorism organizations. So if you fund a certain group, if you donate to a certain group, like Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Oh, okay.
They might consider them, you know.
Really?
Yeah. One of these terrorist organizations. It stretches to organizations seen as supporting progressive causes, suggesting the scope could well include mainstream nonprofit advocacy. And that's us. Wait a minute.
Hold on
here a second. Whoa.
Time out.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Wow.
So anyway, that's the big story.
That is a pretty big one.
We might all be looking over our shoulder very, very soon.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how to top that one.
I don't either.
But, you know, in just a little while, we're going to have part two of Charlie Kirk debating with a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
And this all took place at Cambridge Union. And she did a fantastic job. You can always find this at the YouTube channel, The Special Relationship. I have not looked at other discussions there, but this one stood out for me, and I split it up because it was about 9 minutes long.
Yeah.
But you get to hear part two in just a few moments.
Okay. Hey, we want to remind you, you can win a dinner from Sugar River Pizza. Go to our website, WMDXradio.com. Win your dinner. Every week we give away a $50 gift card to Sugar River Pizza, and it's all because they won Best of Madison for Best Pizza, and we're celebrating the fact that we were also nominated as Best Radio Team, and you can win a $50 gift card. We do a drawing once a week, then we throw out all the entries and start all over on Monday. Just go to WMDX Radio and click on the banner Win Your Dinner from WMDX and Sugar River Pizza.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, how about listening to a little cut here from a guy we haven't heard from in a long time?
Oh, who's that?
Keith Olbermann.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about Trump's worst 96 hours. So this is cut 215. Let's listen.
After perhaps the worst 96 hours of his presidency, the worst 96 hours of the worst presidency of all time, the most fail in the shortest span, the last 96 hours, the UN speech sounding like an escapee from a psych ward, his Tylenol news conference sounding like an escapee from a psych ward who's been living on the street for a month, his suggestion NATO countries shoot down Russian jets, his sudden embrace of Ukraine, MAGA rage about Ukraine, the cover of a London right-wing daily, and his picture in 72-point type with the word deranged below it. The ICE shooting in Dallas, his idiot simpering vice president pretending the victims were agents when they were detainees. His ICE chief not denying, then denying he took $50,000 in a paper bag. His paranoia over the stopped teleprompter at the UN that was his White House staff's fault. His paranoia over the stopped escalator at the UN that was his own vanity videographer's fault. His desire to arrest the escalator and arrest James Comey, the election of Adelita Grijalva to Congress, and the fact that she'll be the last representative needed to force a vote on releasing the Trump Epstein files, his self-humiliation at the Kirk Memorial, ABC reinstating Kimmel, Kimmel then shoving him in a locker using only a monologue, Kimmel then getting a record 6 million viewers and 22 more million online in his first 20 hours, the fact that Kimmel and ABC and Bob Iger and Disney and America told Trump to shove his threats, and that's just since Sunday night.
Wow. Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite the list.
And you know,
it's been busy.
We've got over three more years of that. Three more years of 96 hours. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Pete Hegseth meeting with all the generals.
Yeah,
this morning.
Actually live coverage.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, 19 past the hour. Coming back, we'll be checking in with Brittany Merlot, get an update on the weather. And in just a few minutes, we'll talk to Hannah Van from the Walk to End Alzheimer's. That's coming up on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've taken all you've given, but it's getting hard to make a living. Mr. President, have pity on the working man. Yourself. president. Have pity on the working man.
All right. WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. Check out our Civic Media app. Check WMDX and then text us or give us a voice note or give us a call as well. We want to hear from you. You're part of this program.
Yep. Phone lines are open right now, 608-879-8255. And weather for today, mid-50s to start things out, but temperatures will climb once again into low to mid-80s this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine through the day, mixed in with some clouds. Reminder, a key word this hour in the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, the key word is win. Just jump on the Civic Media app and text us the word win. You can go to the WMDX site on that app and hit the text button, win, W-I-N. It's a multi-state contest, and every chance that you get to text us that word gets you another step closer to win a piece of jewelry and $200 cash, plus every entry gets you into the grand prize drawing for indoor club-level tickets to Green Bay versus Minnesota in November.
All right, we got to get to our cut here. This is cut 214, the Charlie Kirk debate with a feminist, and she's defending working women in the U.S. Let's go with it.
The women in the West have it the best in the world, and yet they're way unhappier than women of sub-Saharan Africa. There's something fundamentally wrong here. Because the women of sub-Saharan Africa have something that a lot of women in the West do not have. The women in the West have cats, and they have good jobs. And the women of sub-Saharan Africa, they have a belief in the divine, and they have kids. And maybe there's a biological undercurrent that is keeping a lot of women from realizing their full potential. And so without reading your phone and just, like, you know, connecting...
I'm not really reading my phone.
Well, you, it's fine. Sure, then you can answer without it. Fair enough. Would you agree that it's a good thing that more women get married and have children in the West?
I would ask you, would you say that a sub-Saharan African woman who's experienced female genital mutilation and checks extremely happy in a survey, and I also would check extremely happy in a survey, who do you think would be objectively more happy, even if they both check the same answer?
No, again, so I fully, if you want to talk about how Islam mistreats women, we could talk all day long. Like, I'm all for that.
Me too.
Okay, good. So we agree.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually agree on many, many things.
And we should shut off Muslim immigration to the UK, right? We totally agree.
I think that all religious fundamentalism is bad. And if you take that logic, we should also not allow evangelical Christians into the UK either.
Hold on. So hold on a second. Hold on. That's funny. Hold on. What would your example, because I have 50, of a single Christian country that you would say mistreats women, right?
America.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We had a female woman vice president. We had a female vice president, a female speaker of the house. Women earn more than men in America.
In Rwanda, female representation in government supersedes the UK by quite a lot. Do women get treated better in Rwanda?
I'm making a simple observation, which is objectively true regardless. The women of the West are miserable, and they're miserable for a reason, because we've told them to suppress how they are made by God and pursue something else and get a bunch of trinkets and get a bunch of promotions, and they end up
like guys.
38 years old with a big flat in London, and they're miserable. And we should tell them to stop freezing their eggs and start finding their partner earlier and have lots of babies.
Yeah, okay. I think I'd bring two just final points to this. First one is just really intuitive, right? Which is that if you actually care about women's happiness, then the solution is to structurally support them. That means universal childcare, shared legally enforceable parental leave. And in Nordic countries where women have high workforce participation and also some state support, they report higher life satisfaction than in more conservative countries, including America. So if your metric is happiness,
just do satisfaction surveys. You just told me they're BS.
So our satisfaction surveys bullshit or not? Because you told me they're bullshit.
Do you acknowledge satisfaction surveys or not? You just told me that they're BS. Do you think they're objective? We can use that as data?
I don't think that
it
is the only sole data set, but it is the data set that necessarily
you told me they're
matters.
So flawed and you self-report. Okay, by the macro self-satisfaction data, I am correct. And you are right. When you have paid family leave, you are happier. I'm actually a proponent of that. At Turning Point USA, we pay for 6 months when somebody has a child. I think there's a lot of agreement we can have on that. We need to encourage having more children. I think the Hungarian child policy is phenomenal. We should look at that, because the greatest thing that is plaguing the West is we're not having enough kids. And it's not just bad because we won't have a future. It's also bad because the present is awfully miserable for too many women as well.
Okay, in which case I think we get...
Can we stop bringing this to a close, please?
Okay. Okay, I think just one final thing, which is that in which case we get to a really interesting argument about what parts of womanhood can be demarcated to the social and what kinds of womanhood can be demarcated to biological. So, for example, my anatomy is demarcated to the biological. But the fact that I might potentially be a better nurturer than a man, I would demarcate that to the social. You might demarcate that to the biological, in which case we have differing moral scales of value. I would ask why we should necessarily prioritize your moral scale of value, which prioritizes things like the birth rate, when in actual fact there are various other moral scales of value. And if you yourself are a free market American, why is it the case that you would not, like the previous speaker noted, extend personal freedoms towards all spheres, including a private sphere?
Because I believe in absolute truth claims, and it's absolutely wrong and bad when a society stops having kids to replace their own population. And then you have to import the third world and you become the third world. It's bad.
I disagree, but thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That right there was absolute perfection. That student just gave a textbook lesson in how to handle a bad faith actor. The what is a woman question isn't a genuine inquiry. It's a rhetorical trap designed to make his opponent look foolish and extreme. But she didn't fall for it. Her answer was calm, nuanced, and intellectually honest, and it completely defused his attack. And what was Kirk's response when his gotcha failed? A complete meltdown into pure condescension. He couldn't win the intellectual argument, so he resorted to a pathetic, misogynistic rant about miserable career women with cats who need to stop freezing their eggs and have babies. It was a total mask-off moment. He didn't just lose the debate, he exposed a raw contempt at the heart of his entire worldview.
Great stuff. YouTube channel, The Special Relationship.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was Charlie Kirk and then...
Great job. Yeah. Great job exposing Charlie Kirk for what he really is.
Mm-hmm. It is 29 minutes past the hour. We'll check in with the Midwest Food and Farm Report. And when we come back, Hannah Van will give us an update on the Walk to End Alzheimer's. We're part of that walk. WMDX has a team and we'll be there this Sunday at Warner Park. We encourage you to join in the walk or donate. Find out much more coming back with John and Gordy on WMDX.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Beautiful day out there in the capital city, Madison. We're overlooking State Street. No leaf blower guy this morning yet.
Right.
Or no sidewalk buffer out there yet.
No. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful day, though. Nonetheless, 56 degrees to start things up, but temperatures are climbing already. We'll get into the low 80s. Later this afternoon with plenty of sunshine mixed in with a few clouds along the way. Time now for us to say hello to Hannah Van. She is with the Walk to End Alzheimer's, and we'll get an update. Things are happening this weekend at Warner Park. It's Sunday, and we've got a WMDX team, and we'll be out there walking along with a lot of other people. Hannah, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, especially, like you said, this week leading up to the walk.
Yes.
So what do people need to know about Alzheimer's? A lot of the research has progressed a bit, and there's always something new to update. What can you tell us about the fight against Alzheimer's? What's the latest?
Yeah, what's the latest? I love that. So in the past 4 years, we are truly in what we call the era of treatment. So we are making moves in the way of research. And that is happening because of events like the Walk to End Alzheimer's, those fundraising efforts, our advocacy efforts, all things of that sort. But right now, there are two treatments available for people in the early stages of an Alzheimer's diagnosis. They are available via an IV infusion, and they are there to help slow the progression of the disease. So we are still out here this Sunday. We are going to be walking because we ultimately, of course, want to find a cure to this ugly disease. So those fundraising dollars that are being raised are helping locally families, but also helping us get to that ultimate cure.
Some of the statistics are just amazing, though. Currently, more than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and over 11 million family and friends provide their unpaid care. For the walk to end Alzheimer's, there's something like 600 communities nationwide participating. I mean, this is an amazing effort. We were out there last year walking with everybody, and it was really quite a community gathering. And tell us what people can expect if they come out to the out to Warner Park on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. So Madison is, yes, one of actually 627 walks that happen across the nation this fall. And so our walk, as you said, is this Sunday at Warner Park. We gather outside of the Rainbow Shelter behind the Mallard Stadium, and we're hoping to have 1,100 walkers. Many of those are made up by family caregivers, professional caregivers, and just those impacted by Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. So the event will open at 8:30. We invite you to come join us, explore some of our vendor tables. We've got a kids zone. There's a beautiful playground. And then at 10 a.m., we host our opening ceremony. And that is when we share the latest in research. We talk briefly about our advocacy efforts, where the dollars are going. And then we also spotlight some people right here in Dane County living with Alzheimer's disease, their caregivers, and so on. One thing that's unique about our walk is everybody gets a pinwheel flower. Mm-hmm. And the color of their flower represents their connection to the disease. So at the end of the ceremony, there's a beautiful display of all these flowers just waving in the wind. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully we'll have roughly 1,100 of those being held high, fighting for that cure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have like written materials for those who are participating in this to kind of know a little bit about Alzheimer's, what people can do to prevent Alzheimer's, or at least hold it off for as long as you possibly can at this point. I think that's where our research is at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk a lot. So within outside of our event and fundraising, you know, we want to make sure that families know that the Alzheimer's Association is here in this community and we are ready to help. We can offer one-on-one care consults. We've got over 13 different support groups locally, so we'll match you to make sure you are in the right one. But we are here to help through every step of the way, along with other partnered agencies like the ADRC and so on.
All right.
And we've got our team together ready to walk on Sunday, and we'll have a WMDX booth there as well. You can go to WMDXradio.com and actually sign up right there to donate or be a part of the walk. Hannah, anything else you want to add about this Sunday?
No, super excited. Bring the sunshine, and I can't wait to see you all. Yeah, you can even register right at the event. So anytime between 8:30 and 10 a.m., you can register and show support as we walk to find a cure.
All right.
Hannah Van, thank you so much. We'll see you on Sunday. Looking forward to
it. Good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. That's Hannah Van with the Walk to End Alzheimer's.
Yeah, a lot of progress taking place, treating Alzheimer's, you know, making it less aggressive
right.
than it is.
Yeah, and it's and this is a fun day, actually. You know, I mean, it's a good community gathering, and last year it was just tremendous to see all the people out there and go for a nice walk around Warner Park.
Yeah.
So hope all you can join us.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have CJ. What do you got for us today, CJ?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. Good.
Doing okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I heard you play the clip of Charlie Kirk. I just want to reiterate that 125,000 requests for new chapters. The wildfire spreads.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people want to have a chapter in their school?
I think people are looking for a connection of family, faith, and country.
Did that debate enlighten anybody? Did it tell them maybe that they're on the wrong path, thinking that they might get those kind of qualities?
I think it's quite obvious that people are realizing I go to church every Sunday, and it is packed.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
With
young, That's good. But we don't adults. We don't need religion in schools. We don't need religion shoved in our face in our politics. All we need is to go to church on Sunday if we want.
Well, we don't need it driven out either. We've seen where that's gotten.
Well, we're not driving it out. You know, people, look, I think it's a family responsibility if conservatives and MAGAs want everybody else to toe the line instead of using their own responsibility to teach their children about religion. I find that to be problematic. I think they're bad parents relying on schools and other sources like maybe, you know, Turning Point USA to teach religion to our kids. I think, you know, it's the parents' responsibility. It's a personal matter. It's not something public like this.
Well, we found out that people were relying on school to teach them things. And what they were teaching them...
Not religion.
...was stuff that most families don't want schools teaching them.
Okay, well, they have a choice. No, they have a choice. They don't even have to teach their children anything. And that's a great parent, by the way. I enjoy them.
You know, and can I just say one thing?
Okay.
Because I always hear this gentleman from Milwaukee call after I call.
Charles.
You know, the white privilege stuff. But listen to him. Mm. Everything he says has to do, leads up with race. What he teaches his children, what he teaches, everything that he talks about, he leads with race.
But isn't that,
and
no,
I
don't.
Charlie Kirk didn't want.
I do not see that. And I think Charlie Kirk uses race constantly. He brings it up. He sees color. He does not go by merit. He always wonders if a black pilot has those qualifications or was she an affirmative action hire. I think that sees color. I don't think that goes by merit.
No.
CJ, I got to take a break.
From Milwaukee sees color right off the bat.
Well,
DEI is dead.
We haven't gotten rid of systemic racism. CJ, we have not gotten rid of it. Now, I want to get to something. We have Charles on the line. All right, let's go to Charles right
CJ
away.
CJ was right. Okay.
Charles, respond to what CJ said.
Good morning. It's perfect timing.
It is.
CJ, I would just like to let you know I'm a 53-year-old black man. I actually live in Oconomowoc. My wife is white. I have a biracial son. My daughter-in-law is white. I have two biracial granddaughters, but I'm not fooled. I'm a black man living in America, and it is about race.
That's right.
So,
absolutely.
So CJ can say whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
I'm not a hateful man. I am one of the nicest people you will probably ever meet.
I agree.
Anybody will tell you that. But
that's
I'm
right.
not fooled that to think that there is not racism in this country. There is, and
right.
I'm not going to fool myself.
Yeah.
I don't talk to my kids about hate. I talk to my kids about reality. We have reality talks because they've experienced racism.
Mm-hmm.
So being white, you can say, oh, well, they're always talking about race. Well, yeah, because it still affects us today.
It does. It really does affect us today.
Charles, thank you.
Charles, thanks for responding. Again, it is so ridiculous to accuse people of DEI. DEI is just another racist way of saying we want systemic racism to exist and be a part of our American society, and it's just wrong. It's always been wrong.
From Sun Prairie says, that's rich. CJ thinks racism isn't real as a white man. Uh-huh. And CJ had the privilege to ignore racism, but black people have to live it every day.
That's right.
That's another great point.
It is. Okay. It is. It's just outrageous that we, I don't know why we let DEI become illegal in this country. I don't know how that happened. You know, if I were a corporation, I'd tell the administration to go, you know, F themselves only because it's my choice. What I want to do, I can do. And here's the thing. And you've experienced this probably throughout your life, too. Way back when we applied for work and we didn't get the job, did we sit there and say, well, gee, I wonder who got that job?
Right.
And were they qualified?
Yeah. No.
We accepted the fact that we weren't taken for that job. I am not the person hiring me. I don't know what their qualifications are. I don't know what they're looking for their business. They have all the control in the world over what they do in their business, not me. And I can't suppose that the other person got it because of DEI. It's not my place to say that. And right. This is a whole new construct by this administration, DEI. It's totally made up. And corporations have the option of hiring who they want. And by the way, you're sitting across from the guy who's hiring you. A lot of times, it has something to do with personality conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
They see you as somebody, well, I don't want that guy representing our company.
I don't know if
it's a personality conflict.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's not DEI. They have an option to do what they want to do. We have an option to walk on and apply for work someplace else. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
We don't blame anybody for DEI, and that's what this administration is doing. It's a crutch.
All right, 7:48. When we come back, we'll talk to Jesse Christensen about some new laws that they're trying to pass up on cannabis and THC and everything else. We'll get that update from Jesse when we come back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, it is 7:52, John and Gordy in the morning. Want to remind you that we are still in a keyword hour. The keyword is win. What's this all about? It's the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. Your chance to win a piece of gold jewelry and $200 cash. We're giving away every day. Plus, every entry puts you into a grand prize drawing for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to the Green Bay, Minnesota game in November. Just go to the Civic Media app. Go to WMDX, hit the text button, and text us the word WIN. You have a few more minutes, but if you don't get in this hour, you can try again during 9 a.m. hour, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. Good luck to you. Go to civicmedia.us/contest for more rules.
All right. Our special guest, Jesse Christensen from Cannabis DNP. And
good to see you again.
You've been on the show once before, and it was a fantastic discussion. You use science in order to bring us some of the products that you have. And we have, of course, something going on at the state legislative level that is trying to ban some of the products that you produce and so many other competitors as well. I mean, this is a huge market in the state at this point. And you and all the others have been accused of exploiting a loophole. It really wasn't a loophole or anything. It was just, expanding the business. No one really looked at it as exploitation or anything like that. You're just creating a product out there. Why don't we play the cut here from the legislature? This is Linda Brill Sheboygan, and she came up with this legislation. This is Channel 3000 covering the story. Let's listen.
What was it again? Sorry.
174.
Okay. Here we go.
At the state capitol, Republican lawmakers are moving to close a THC loophole by redefining legal hemp. Right now, hemp-derived products like Delta 8 and THCA, which experts say can have psychoactive effects, are legal. The proposed bill would stop those products from hitting the market. Businesses built under the current law could be forced to shut down. But the bill's lead author argues the industry should have known better.
This market was created because of a loophole, and that was a chance that businesses took when they opened their business.
It would completely handicap an industry that is generating incomes, jobs, rental spaces. It's foolish.
That was Brooke Bartels, who's preparing to open a dispensary in Madison. He says lawmakers should focus on regulation instead of a ban. He says that outlawing hemp-derived THC could fuel a black market surge. The bill is still in its early stages and is currently circulating for co-sponsorship.
All right, Jesse, what do you think about something like that?
So, yeah, when I listened to this the first time around, it was very confusing to me for the fact that Delta-8 products, THCA products from the hemp industry has been very beneficial for a lot of the consumers, a lot of the retailers, and a lot of the farmers that are being hit right now with unknown tariffs and looking for payouts to help keep them afloat. This industry is needed. In 2018, 2022, we had advisory referendums asking Wisconsin voters if we wanted a legalized program. And each time our votes increased, saying that there was more yays than nays. And that took up more than half of Wisconsin. So the voters are speaking, but nobody's really listening. When they're talking about that these could be dangerous, some can be. Regulation would be an idea to run as opposed to what's going on right now. But we need to do it smart. We need to do it with information and evidence and not just isolated events. When I was reading the article, they brought up the gateway theory, which has been out of the science lexicon for since about 2000, 2010. It started in the 1950s, 1970s, but science has backed up the fact that that is not a real thing.
A Dragnet 67 emphasized that. Was it?
Yeah. So when I hear people using terminology like that, I can understand that they're using fear. And fear is a very strong emotion. Fear will help push an agenda and make people vote against what they want. It's very strong. The other thing, too, is these isolated incidences, such as the one that was quoted in Stoughton at the pizzeria using THC-infused dough and oil for dough, got about 85 people sick. There was no charges pressed. They just mocked it up as an accident.
Can happen.
It can happen, but it was an isolated event. Yeah. It happened in a shared kitchen. So instead of using isolated events to go for a broad ban on things that would drive people back to a black market or unregulated products, regulation would be the step to go if that's the avenue we're going to take, because then we can actually benefit from packaging, labeling, dosing, extraction processes, things that are safer for our community as opposed to driving it back to the black market or driving people to other states like we did in the past.
Now, you mentioned that the public is on board with regulating this, making it safer for everybody.
Correct.
Is there an effort by any of the politicians to get a better bill as opposed to just opposing it or making it illegal and putting all these businesses out of business?
There's people in the Capitol that are positing a new bill. For me to speak on that is kind of out of my realm. If you want more information on things of that nature, the Wisconsin Cannabis Activists are a wonderful organization. They know all things politics, all things cannabis. That would be your reference to use if you wanted more information on what bills are actually in the Capitol at the moment. I just can't speak on that part.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Jesse, it's good to have you in and check in with you every once in a while. And again, your business is
Cannabis DMP, Laffy Taffy's. I also go by Dr. Merce.
Okay.
Yeah, therapeutic taffies, daytime, nighttime, different profiles, and they're absolutely amazing.
And you can find your business online at?
CannabisDNP.com. As in doctor, N as in nurse, P as in practitioner.
Very good.
It's always good to hear from you.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah. All right, Jesse. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, Mike McCabe will join us. That's going to do it for us for today. Stephanie Miller is coming up next. John, have a great day.
Well, I will, listening to Stephanie Miller. Well, yes. You'll have more of these cuts that you can't wait to hear from the administration.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.